It seems to be the new plague of our times. Thieves stealing copper to resell for cash. Recent crimes have involved thousands of thefts of copper wire, leaving neighborhoods in the dark. Headstones and plaques have been stolen from cemeteries, and a bronze plaque was pried off of a Manhattan Beach monument at Bruce's Beach Park. Now efforts are being made to stem the tide of theft and make sure that the law is enforced on the other side by salvage and recycling centers. And a new California program could help create thousands of new homeowners. It's called California Dream for All, and it's offering $250 million in down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers. We'll show you how it works and how you can apply. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. The price of copper today is right around $4 a pound. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but those pounds really do add up. And the price could be going up, up, up in the next couple of years. All of this is good news for copper thieves and bad news for the rest of us. The city of Los Angeles has been dealing with a lot of recent copper theft issues, including thefts of wire that have darkened the 6th Street Bridge. Let's bring in L.A. City Councilman Kevin De Leon to talk about that. That's your district over there. And you and Councilmember Tracy Park held a news conference the other day. I covered that story. But that was a very serious shot across the bow with regard to copper wire theft.
You're absolutely right, Hal. I want to thank you very much for the invitation. You have two council members, one from the east side and one from the west side, coming together for the city of LA, because we have thieves literally who are picking apart this city of Los Angeles, the second largest city in the United States of America, but the largest geographically in the United States of America. We have copper wire thieves that are stealing wires from the lights. That's why we have so many neighborhoods, not just in my district, but throughout the great city of L.A., completely dark.
You know, and let me interrupt for a second, because I was out right in front of the Hollenbeck Division, the police department, right across the street from your office there, and not too far from the bridge, and the lights were out right by the police station. The wire had been stolen right from there, right?
Absolutely. We've had folks who have dressed up like their general contractors, putting on vests and actually putting on a construction hat, walking with boots and a tool belt, putting in orange cones around the lights, and actually sit there, unscrew the panels, and pull out all the wire. Any unsuspecting individual would actually think that, is that someone from the city? Is that a private contractor just doing normal infrastructure work? This is happening throughout the city of LA. We have individuals who are using even our unhoused, you know, a population, not everyone, but folks who are actually, you know, stealing the copper wire. They use them, they buy from them, they give them pennies on the dollar. Then they're going to these recycling centers and selling it and getting $4 a pound right now.
Let's talk a second, though, about the bridge, because that's where you held your news conference. That's where you announced a task force. That's where Tracy Park announced an expansion of an reward and that you were doing jointly. And you know, this task force that you want to have take on this problem, what do you expect this task force to be doing?
Well, I'm dedicating roughly about $200,000 from my own discretionary dollars to fund this task force that will be comprised of the LAPD, the Bureau of Street Lighting, as well as community members and other stakeholders, because strategically, we just don't want to deal with those individuals who are stealing the copper wire, but we really want to crack down on those individuals who are actually purchasing that copper wire. We have a lot of bad actors, not everyone, but we have some bad actors in the recycling centers that are actually turning a blind eye. They know folks are showing up with stolen goods and they're buying it, or they're buying it for $4 a pound. It's being driven, you know, by a global market right now, because construction is at a boom level at this moment. And that's why the value of copper wire has increased quite dramatically. But for example, on our own 6th Street Bridge, which is an iconic bridge, but we spent over $500 million. Part of the bridge is dark because they stole all of the copper wire. And that copper wire, for example, amounts to about 39,000 feet, which is equivalent to 7 miles. Those 7 miles of copper wire from our own 6th Street Bridge, the People's Bridge, they'll get roughly about $10,000, $11,000 from a recycling center. That's going to cost us, the taxpayers, at least $2.5 million for repairs. Again, let me just emphasize how the city is being picked apart right now by these thieves who care little about the city of Los Angeles.
I have a couple of questions for you, maybe shorter answers, but one is with regard to these recycling centers, how do they know if what they are being offered for money came from the Sixth Street Bridge or was legitimate wire that somebody was actually cashing in to be melted down to get money, like in a pawn shop? I mean, how do you do that?
Listen, I think it's common sense when someone shows up with 7 miles of copper wire.
Yeah, but I mean, what about smaller amounts?
Yeah, I don't think they showed up at a construction site all of a sudden and started picking up pieces of wire that were on the ground. Even in smaller amounts, who is showing up right now at recycling centers with large quantities of copper wire? That is a reality right now. I think a lot of them, and that's why I really emphasize some good actors, some bad actors, not everyone. So I don't want to generalize, but we got folks who are turning a blind eye today, Hal, and reaping the profits at the stake of senior citizens, children, mothers with children who are walking the parks now and get out of town by sundown, because once that sun goes down, it is completely dark.
Which makes it a safety issue.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, we have senior citizens who have told me they're afraid to go down to the corner store to buy a dozen eggs or to buy cream for their coffee in the morning because it may be 6 p.m. at night, but it's completely dark because the thieves have stolen all of the copper wiring for that whole entire street. And guess what? What the thieves wait for is for the Bureau of Street Lighting to actually come in and repair the lights. And they're just hanging out because once they see the lights turn on once again, they go back and they steal, they re-steal. It's like our light posts throughout the city of LA are ATM machines for these thieves. And that's why we have to be smarter about this. And that's why we're starting this task force. We want to be strategic in how we implement our tactics in trying to lower tremendously the amount of stolen copper wire theft in the city of LA. But this is not just unique to LA. It's happening all over the state, all over the country. But as usual, whatever happens in LA is extra, extra.
Okay, we got about 20 seconds left. What do you do about this besides the task force, rewards? How do you just clamp down on this thing?
Well, I think that we have to have stiffer penalties once we catch these individuals. And that's going to be up to the district attorney as well as the city attorney. It's my hope that they will be stiffer in the penalties because we have to send a very clear message that we don't want to live in darkness. We don't want to live for fear of our own safety. Let's light up the city. Let's live at Angelinos free, even when it's dark out there, but we can have lights that are working.
All right. Los Angeles City Councilman Kevin DeLeon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Al.
All right, take care. The best. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we take a trip to Pasadena, where the Department of Public Works is also dealing with the repercussions of copper theft. They're also working on a retrofit of the historic library and making the Colorado Bridge, this Colorado Street Bridge, suicide safe. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Los Angeles is far from the only place dealing with these copper thefts, and sites everywhere are looking for solutions to the problem. In fact, another place faced with vanishing copper is the city of Pasadena. Tony Almos is Pasadena's Public Works Director. Tony, good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Pasadena is also struggling with this theft problem. What is the scope of it? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah. Wire theft has occurred over the years. We just noticed that within the last year, it has just picked up, the number of incidents. Just last year, between last January to this January, we had 47 incidents, and 35 of those actually occurred from November until now. So there's just been a really big spike within the last couple of months.
You know, what we're looking at are pictures that show like a little vault that you would have in let's say, concrete. I think that's the right term. And you have lighting wiring down there. Is it really that easy to get into these things?
Yeah, what we have, what you're looking there on the screen, we call it a utility pool box. And basically, they're a concrete box, and it has the wires underneath. So they are easy. What the perpetrators do, they'll pop out the lid, they'll cut the wires for two consecutive pull boxes, and they'll just pull the wire and steal it. So we have been doing things to try to mitigate for that. We've been sealing the boxes with construction adhesive now, just to make them harder to get into. But we have a lot of these boxes.
And that does lead us to the next question. I mean, what can you do to discourage these thieves?
Well, what we try to do is get the word out to the community. 2 weeks ago, we had a press conference with County Supervisor Bargner and our city council, the mayor. And we offered a reward to the public that will lead, that will provide some information leading to information that will give us, lead to some kind of arrest.
Is it just copper? How much is it?
It's actually $20,000, $10,000 from the county, $10,000 from the city.
Oh, so that's an incentive for somebody to drop a nickel on authorities, but it's also a disincentive for somebody to do it. Is that the idea?
That's the idea. And since we've announced that reward, we've actually only had two incidents. And we were averaging, you know, a couple incidents every couple of days. That was almost daily where we're getting hit within the last couple of months.
Is it just copper wire, or have you had problems with other metal theft like we've seen elsewhere?
It's mostly the copper wire. We have had perpetrators steal some other materials from our city yard. And just today we heard that one of the plaques that's on one of our bridges got stolen. And we've been hearing of that happening across other cities in Southern California. So I'm not sure if that's going to be the next frontier, but it's something we're definitely investigating and keeping track of.
That happened this past week in Manhattan Beach with the Bruce's Beach plaque. It's a bronze plaque.
Yes.
I'm guessing yours is bronze, too. And do they melt down the bronze, and one of the things in the bronze is copper, and they extract that out?
Yeah, from my understanding, there's different materials that are recyclable. Copper is one of those materials that has pretty good value for recycling. The bronze, I'm not sure how that recycles in terms of value, but it is something that seems to be very popular now.
So there is
some value for those materials.
Why do you think that is?
Some of the recycling facilities are actually taking the materials in, and there's some good recycling facilities, and there's others that are creating a little bit of a problem because they're taking the materials in without properly logging them. So what's happening is that the materials, without being properly identified where they're coming from, can be processed illegally.
All right, well, a couple other issues we want to talk about with you. The Public Works Department is also working to rehab the Pasadena Central Library. What's the problem there, and what's being done?
So several years ago, we found out that the building, all the walls on the inside of the building are unreinforced masonry. So what we're going to be doing is doing a seismic retrofit project where we're going to reinforce all the walls within it. And since we're already going to be under construction for that very big project, we're going to be doing some reconfiguring of the space and as well to provide some more community opportunities.
How long is it going to be closed for?
It closed back in May of 21, so it's already been closed for almost 3 years. And if we get all the funding that's required for this project, we expect to start construction in 25 and go all the way through 28.
That's a long time.
It is. It's a very big project. It's probably going to be one of the largest projects that the city of Pasadena has ever undertaken.
Another problem on the books, though, is that beautiful Colorado Street Bridge. Unfortunately, it has a rather dark history. At least 150 people have jumped off of that bridge in an attempt to kill themselves. What's being done to retrofit that bridge?
Yeah, so the bridge was built back in 1913, so it's been around for a while. And unfortunately, since the beginning, as you mentioned, it has had a problem with suicide. And what we did back in 2017, we put up some temporary fencing, like you see the one on the picture there, to prevent that while we come up with a permanent solution. So for the last few years, we've been working on trying to come up with some vertical barrier designs that we can implement on the bridge to prevent individuals from making that jump. And it's a task because it is historic. It's very iconic, you know, to the city. This is one of the most beautiful bridges that's actually in Southern California. So it's one that we have to handle with care. And it's all about safety.
All about safety. And it really, it's such a sad thing that's occurred there. And I know you're trying to do something about it. Tony Olmos, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. First-time homebuyers are getting a boost, and thousands of them could get money for a down payment on a home from the state. We'll show you how right after this break. Don't go away. We're back with you now on Fox 11 News In Depth. Let's talk about a different problem, the issue of how people can afford to buy a home. The California Dream for All program is entering its second year. Its goal is to provide up to 20% of the home price for down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers. Last year, the available funds were gone, believe it or not, in 11 days. This year, things are being done a little bit differently. Here to tell us all about that is local real estate expert Suzanne Cini. She's with Innovate Realty Company. And Suzanne, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
Thank you. Tell us about this program. How does it work? What does it provide?
We all know that we have some problems with affordability here in California, and this is a shared equity program. So basically, the government is willing to put up 20%, put 20% down for homeowners so that they can purchase their first home. So they're going to put the money up for them for that down payment and deal with all the other stuff later. But let's get them in the home so that way they could take advantage and start their path for home ownership.
It's so interesting that last year, 11 days, poof, it was all gone. And so what changes have been made to maybe make it last to 12 or 13 days?
Yeah. Oh, it was a mad dash last year. So there were a lot of people who were disappointed. The program was brand new, and I feel like people were doing whatever they could to get in. This year, it's going to be a little bit different. So there's still, so last year there was $300 million. This year there's $250 million in the pot. So, but the biggest difference is going to be that now we're doing this off of a lottery. So it's a first come, first serve to get into the lottery. And then there's going to be a drawing. You'll be selected. If you're selected, then you still have some time to find a home. So that's really important, because last year you had to be in escrow. A lot of people, if they fell out of escrow or if they didn't get it in time, they lost that opportunity. So this time they understand, they kind of learned from the mistakes, and they're actually going to give consumers some time to shop and find a home. The big takeaway here, we don't expect you to know everything, but get with a lender right away to connect. You don't want to wait till the last minute, which again is kind of what happened last year. Everyone jammed in there. This is opening up in April. So you want to connect with your lender now and see if you're a good fit for this program.
So I have a question. Question is somebody I know just moved here from Texas, had a home in Texas, but has never had a home in California. Are they a first-time home buyer in California under a California program, or are they not a first-time home buyer because they had a home in another state?
That's a great question. So this isn't just specific to California. So it is you're technically considered a first-time home buyer for this program if you have not owned a house in 7 years in the U.S. as a whole. So it doesn't matter if it's specifically California, that you cannot have owned a home for 7 years.
When does this start? How does one apply?
Yeah, so this is coming in April. The site will open up for applicants in April, and then it sounds like you'll be notified in May if you are a good candidate or if you get selected for this program. What you want to do is you want to talk with your lender now. You want to talk with your real estate agent. You want to make sure that you get ahead of it so you know exactly where to go. This is a CalHAFA program, so you can go directly to CalHAFA's website, but I highly recommend going to a professional that knows exactly what they're doing.
Let's talk about the local real estate market. Is this a good time to buy or sell a home? What do we have, a buyer's or a seller's market? And do you expect to see 2024 for the Los Angeles market improve?
That's a great question. So Fed met today, right? And they just released that they are not touching rates at this time. So what that means is we have a little bit more time before interest rates go down once again, and then we're back into that market with the seller's market where there's bidding wars on every property. I think we all remember how that went. So if you're asking me, this is the time. This is the time you want to buy. You know that if you buy now, interest rates they're manageable right now. But you know, if they continue to go down, which they are projected to do, once inflation drops to, I think 2% is what they said today, then interest rates may go down again. When that happens, there are going to be more buyers in the market, and you're probably going to pay more for that home than you would. So I do think it's a great time where interest rates, it's doable right now, it's affordable, and sellers are still getting top dollar for their home because there is a lack of inventory in the market regardless.
Well, you know, you can end up with bidding wars depending on how this market goes, and all of a sudden you're competing with somebody else to try to get that home you really want.
Exactly.
So the bottom line here is pretty much what?
The bottom line is it is a good time to buy. Interest rates are within a normal range. And it's a great time to sell because we are still dealing with that inventory challenge where there's just not a ton on the market. So sellers can still get top dollar, but buyers are still able to get an affordable interest rate before they're competing with 40 other buyers for the property that they want.
All right, Suzanne Cini, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. And Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. Finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.